Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, welcome to the Balance Podcast. Our guest today, Paul Olimer. Love Paul Olimer a great deal. Fitness influencer, TikTok star. There's a strong chance you follow him on, as I say, TikTok or Instagram. He is an influencer. That sounds like some sort of branding, an influencer with a difference, but he really is. His videos are very funny. He's trying to be... I'm not going to swear in the intro, but the language is a bit fruity on this one. It's very much a no BS approach. And again, you might be thinking, can you hear my wife? That's, if you want to, you know what? Have this genuine snapshot into life at the Gill House. Printing off for homeschooling. Couldn't make it up, could you? But it's true. As you will discover, the way Paul talks, he really is no BS. And also, his book is so brilliant and so comprehensive that I fear, not that he will care, as you will discover with Paul, he really doesn't care. But I put it to him, I said, this book is so comprehensive and so brilliant, I think you've actually done yourself out of the chance of a sequel. And it was something I think he was very aware of. I just think he wanted to deliver a book that was as perfect as could be. What he wanted to avoid, and again, I'm not naming anyone here, he wanted to avoid your classic standard influencer fitness well-being book, which is, gotta be careful I say this, but some of those types of books are very much pretty pictures of them doing press-ups and eating cereal, which is, you know, hey, we all love those books, but Paul really did not want to do one of those books. It would have been very easy for Paul Olimer. Here's another picture of me doing a sit-up. Here's another picture of me skipping. Here's another picture of me tucking into brunch. He really didn't want to do that. There's science in this book. There's maths in this book. He wants to explain how and why we get fit. Not why we get fit, but the mechanics of getting fit and why the mechanics work, why this book works. It's a tremendous book.
Did it come out?
It did, Jemima. It did. This is. If you've never listened before, I can safely say, never done an intro like this.
Why is the sheet not coming?
It's just there. It's just there, my love. There you go. There you go. Just there. Paul Olimer. Cheers, Jane. Paul Olimer, his new book, Fit, is out now. It is fantastic, and it's a very different kind of book from a fitness influencer. And I think there is lasting change in there. So, as we talked about in this chat, prior to our chat, I don't know about you, but on lockdown, my fitness routine, I use the term loosely, maybe 4 days a week, I managed to get on the exercise bike. But he's saying to maybe exercise earlier and then do something a bit later on. So I'm trying to do that. So it's a spin on the morning, maybe a bit of yoga in the afternoon. So what will strike you about Paul is just how damn likeable he is. I absolutely loved him. Oh, and straight away, I logged on maybe 3 minutes past 11. We were supposed to chat at 11. And what I loved about Paul, he hit me hard. He wasn't letting that go. Very likeable. Top, top guy. Paul Olimer, new book Fit, out now. Hey, how are you?
How are you getting on?
Yeah, I'm not too bad.
You weren't on time.
What's that, mate?
You weren't on time. You weren't on at 11 o'clock.
I'll tell you what, mate. We're
messing, pal. Go on.
Mate, I'm going to share something with you.
What?
Well, from reading about you, I know that you also have two...
Yeah. Say no more, pal. Say no more.
Are you homeschooling as well?
I'm not. I've got one is up with her mum up north, and the other one's gone to nursery, so I get to drop her off at 9 every morning because nurseries are still open.
I'll be honest with you, mate. I've never been more jealous of anyone in my life.
Yeah, I know. You know when Boris was giving out when he was doing the speech, when he said nurseries, I swear it was like Liverpool scoring in the Champions League.
Yeah. Boris, I'm just going to vote for you at the next election right there.
Oh, God.
We've only just met again. I'm oversharing here. If there's any way you can also press record, I'll tell you there is a story behind this. So of all the episodes I've done via Zoom, they've all saved apart from one last May. Don't know what happened, but as we said goodbye and I closed it and it just didn't record any of it.
Okay, I've clicked record. I've never recorded. I've clicked record anyway. It says recording and it's going like that.
Bless your heart, could not be more grateful. Now, Paul, straight into it.
Yeah.
We've already bonded over my lack of punctuality, which I'll be honest with you, given your book, this is an appalling first impression that I've made.
No, not at all.
Let's get that out in the open. And if you
Oh, not at all. As soon as you it's something for me to be able to have a laugh with. That's why when I clicked and it said 11, not ready, I said, look, I'll come back in 3 minutes now and I have something to say. I love taking the piss, so it was just my way of breaking the ice, as you say.
I mean, joking apart, if you were my PT and I turned up genuinely late, would you say right 10 laps around the park?
You know what, I give you a 5 minutes grace period, because I'm not gonna lie myself, I'm late all the time. I give you a five minutes grace period, and then after that maybe I just wouldn't be there. I'm that sort of person, you know. Look, you're either right. There's no such thing as early, they say. You're either on time or you're late. That's the two
I don't think you mind me saying this. Nearly 20 years ago, I was the Crystal Palace reporter for. I mean, I live near the training ground now. But so I used to report on Crystal Palace for a local paper. One of my first jobs in journalism. And when Ian Dowie took over, he's like such a hero to me. But I remember one of the players was late, and they tried to laugh it off. And I remember Dowie just going, "It won't happen again." And you could sense all the other players like, "Oh,
yeah."
But there is something in that, though, isn't there? The whole punctuality thing. Either be on time or, you know, leave the club.
I've had managers myself, even, as you could probably know, I have more clubs than Nick Faldo. I've had managers sign for a new club every 3 months to get that signing on fee. I remember there's managers that you'd respect and then there's managers that you just thought were, and the managers that if you were late, like you'd have players getting there double early, like in rugby, because the director of rugby, you wouldn't take the piss. People would get there an hour before and you just just relax at the bar until training started or whatever. With football, you could just see, like, if people are walking in 10 minutes, 15 minutes late and stuff like that, certain managers you can take the piss and do that with. And then there's certain managers that nobody would do that with. So I think it's a respect thing as well.
I can't remember whose book it is. I think it might be Stan Collymore's autobiography. He says that, I think one day in training, Robbie Fowler had Roy Evans in a playful headlock, right?
Right.
And this is a team that... Oh, look at that. Bless you. Thank you very much.
Look at that.
I mean, this is... to the listener, I've just been gifted the sort of smoothie that God himself would be proud of.
And it's great. Look
Thank
at that.
You.
Nigeria and Ireland all mixed into one there. Go on, boy. Look, you don't have to show me your true colours and all. I know you love us. Don't worry about it.
But also, you must think I'm like a little emperor. I turn up late. I get gifted a drink. What the hell?
You've killed your kids because of homeschooling. And then you get what?
Yeah.
And then you get the thing in.
strangle one of them this morning. And he makes the point.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And this was a Liverpool team that underachieved badly that particular era, you know, the Spice Boys, etc.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he says in the book, you just can't imagine Sir Alex Ferguson tolerating that.
No.
Now, given your ties to sport and your background in sport, who are the people in sport who inspire you, the people, you know, you talk about having that respect? Who are the guys that you look up
that,
to?
That did. I had, when I moved over here, there was, I was trying my best to play. I had Brian Laws. I went to Scunthorpe and there was a fellow called Brian Laws, but it wasn't him. It was his assistant, Russell Wilcox. I'll never forget it. He was just like a big burly Northern. He would have been like the leader of the Night Watch if you know what I mean. Yes. Like, but he would be the one in the background. Do you know what I mean? The one that everyone loves, Jon Snow, kind of yeah. One that, and he was just brilliant. He was massive Northern lad proper, and he was just brilliant because he made you love football. Do you know what I mean? He made you, with a look, he'd make you do extra running. And I was only up at Scunny for around a month. But I remember before I went down to Bristol Rovers, I remember just like his attitude was, you know, what I wanted to be. And then that's what kind of made me go, oh, I might become a coach. And then after Bristol Rovers and fucking my wonderful time down in Taunton and stuff, I ended up going to Dagenham and Redbridge. And I ended up playing for the reserves for like 2 years, which was a coach there called Rob Garvey. And again, he was like a big, but this time he was an Essex man, do you know what I mean? Like, you know, proper East London, like, you know what I mean? I fucking love this guy. And so I think those two were definitely my main coaches. And then growing up, it was Andy Cole. But the reason why I'm a Liverpool supporter is because Andy Cole broke my heart and signed for Man United. So the less said about Andy Cole right now, the better.
Sure. But, I don't think I've ever confessed this after more than 120 episodes. Everyone thinks I'm a Palace fan because I used to. And I am a Palace fan, but that was just because I used to report on them, and it was like Stockholm syndrome. I fit, you know, there's the shirt there. But when I was a little boy, I was a Glory supporter. It was Liverpool, so it was all about one of my all-time heroes is John Barnes. Who were your Liverpool heroes then?
Yeah. So yeah, again, it was of everybody was a Glory supporter, like. Where I lived in Ireland, because in Ireland, you don't, our local team's Bohemians. Nobody's really supporting Bows, do you know what I mean? So,
the thing with Ireland as well is I'm absolutely not saying you're a Glory supporter. So many Irish sports fans are Liverpool fans, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, the thing from my day when I went into them, Man United were winning everything.
Yeah.
So, like, everybody was a Man United supporter, and they're all my older brothers, Glory supporters. I like to put that in there.
They were
all Man United fans. And I think when Andy Cole did go to Liverpool, that kind of broke. And the only reason I supported them is because they hated Man United the most in the world. But that year, I did go over and start watching them. It was like the John Barnes, Steve McManaman, and all that stuff. And yeah, it was good to see another team that hated Man United as much as I did. So yeah, that's why I'm here today.
Now, one thing about you, Paul, and this is to any non-football fans listening, I don't think a lot of people realise how hard it is for professional footballers to transition to life after football. I think Alan Hansen made a documentary years ago that sort of touched on this. How lucky do you feel that not only have you found a life after football, but you've actually blossomed
past? Yeah, I do. What's weird is I always think about my time at Scunthorpe because we played Sheffield United in the friendly. We beat them 4-1. After around 33 minutes, I was blowing out my arse. Do you know what I mean? At half time, they took me off and they went, "Pod, you need match fitness." That's when I went down to Bristol Rovers. So I was like, fuck, you know what I mean? Like, I'm meant to be playing for Ireland. You know what I mean? That's the way I thought in my head. But I always think to myself, if I continue playing with Scunthorpe and played in League One and maybe went down to League Two and stayed conference, I'd never have been able to do what I've done in my life right now. So it's kind of a I'd be honest, it's a blessing. Like, my life is better now than it would have been if I... So I always do feel like people put everything into football like I did, but there are so much other things that you can do. Like, it's great to be a footballer, and that's a dream for everybody, but it's not the be all and end all, and there's so much better stuff out there. And I don't know. I think people, like, you grow up as a kid, isn't it? And that's the pinnacle of life. But it's not. Just so, like, I can't really explain how grateful I am that I'm not a footballer, because it's not like I was going to be a Premier League or a Championship. You know what I mean? I'm a Conference League Two, maybe League One. You know what I mean? And there's nothing to me mates that are all in them leagues. There's nothing wrong with being in them leagues, but it's a job at the end of the day, and it's not like you're going to be rolling around in Ferraris. And you know what I mean? It's a solid job. You're still living a little boyhood dream, but after it, when you're playing in the Conference and the League Ones and the League Twos, you're going to have to get a job. Do you know what I mean? It's not like, oh, okay, I finished football now, League One football, and I'm going to be set for life. Not at all. So that's why I'm pretty happy that I did not make it, if that makes sense, in the end, and I got to play rugby and enjoy myself, if that makes sense.
When was the moment, can you talk us through, when you realised that there was actually going to be a living and a future and so on in fitness, in being a fitness influencer? What was that like? Because that must have been quite exhilarating, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so I think when I was playing football, I was coming to the end of football, and I played rugby as well. I played rugby at school, really good at it, and people that are playing for Ireland were like, I was running over them in school. So I was thinking to myself, I'm going to go play rugby again, because I enjoy... Not like football is so much running. People don't understand how much running there is in a football match. But so when I was leaving football, and I had jobs coming up as a body double. That was my first thing. What made me able to leave? So Mario Balotelli was my first job in 2010 when he signed for Man City, and he was hot. So I'm getting paid from Nike, quite a bit of money to just stand in for him. And I was like, well, I don't really need the football, because why I have so many clubs is I kept on going for whoever said they were going to pay me the most money in leading semi-pro football. It came to, like, I'm a semi-pro footballer now, so you're not as good as I once thought I was. I think a lot of people have dreams, and then when you actually see the lads doing extra running, or the lad that every time a corner comes in, he volleys it and he connects perfectly and you get one out of three, like, you're like, oh man, maybe I'm not as good as, but I know it's practice and stuff like that. But I think it was at that time then when I started getting all these other jobs, I was like, oh, I actually don't need football that much, and I can just do it for fun. And then it got to the time where I left football for rugby. And so I was like, here, look at, and then rugby, the thing that happened to me was I was playing rugby for a team called Old Eltamians. I think that the chairman owns Chip and Pin. You know Elton? I think it's near Crystal Palace way.
Right, okay, yeah.
Elton. Anyway, and got on a rugby tackle in training, and I tore my tricep tendon off. I couldn't, I still can't, like, hold a full press up position without it getting, but I lost a job. I had a job for LucasAid, which was, so I was doing Instagram on the side. And I might have had like 50,000 followers or something like that. And I had like a sponsorship with Maxi Muscle, and I was about to get one with LucasAid. And when I tore my tricep, they cancelled it. So I was thinking to myself, okay, I would have got how much money if I just lost, do you know what I mean, doing that? So then I said to myself, I'd never play sports again to a proper level. And I'll just do the stuff online, and then it's just picked up, really. Yeah, and it's a weird one.
I mean, you know, the numbers that you've got across the socials. I mean, how have you managed that? What's the secret there? Because lots of people try it, but I mean, not the percentage of people who not only break through but also have a hit book out. I mean, it's marginal.
Yeah. It's a weird one. I think it's for me, I've never wanted it as much as other people have, I think. So when I did start Instagram, I started, I'd say my first 50,000 followers was something called Pigeon Wars. So as much as I was doing fitness on the side, it was because pigeons kept on shitting on my car and on me, and I'd get water balloons and I'd throw them at pigeons. there was something called Pigeon Wars online. This is the truth. Anyway, and I got my first 50,000 followers from Pigeon Wars. And then after, I got 20,000 from, I was sponsored by Maxi Muscle, and they had something called Cyclone. And I used to get a bit of protein, and I used to put it into me fish every morning. People would be like, oh, have you given your fish protein yet? So I go in and I give, and one of the fish, my fish, it was a black fish, big paw. Yeah, I call him. And anyway, me and him, he was getting massive. And then I must have got up another 20. And then I used to post loads of videos of me lifting heavy weights. And I stopped doing that. And I started doing what I love, which is making skits and having a laugh. And then Instagram just started not being... It started turning into my job, if that makes it. Not a job, but I started getting ads from it, and you know what I mean? Allowed to be more creative. So, yeah, it's brilliant now. It's my job now, so, yeah.
And from the book as well,
yeah.
I think part of what you were doing and part of the reason why... I sound like your PR saying this, but no. You're such a breath of fresh air because, and again, I'm not knocking anyone here, but a lot of the other guys are doing a similar sort of thing, posting the same sorts of pictures, dare I say, repeating the same sort of stuff. But then exercises. You come along.
Yeah, every exercise. I've seen it around 20 times. Oh, you're dead right. I always do. I look and I'm like, people aren't really giving stuff to people. I think with my book as well, what I wanted to do was make sure that if somebody buys it, they have like a level 2 fit. So they'll be able to see bullshit when, you know what I mean? So, like, it kind of goes into a bit of a sciencey bit in it. Yeah, quite. But I tried to make it like science for dummies. Do you know what I mean? Where it's like, okay, this is fitness. But so this is like, try to make it like nice so people will be able to intake that. Because there is one thing I love in this world. It is fitness. But I feel like there's so many people ruining it online. And do you know what I mean? And it's pretty annoying. But yeah, it's a weird one.
Can you just share with the listener, because I think part of the book's USP, and if anyone's listening, when they listen to this, they're going to go, oh, okay, that sounds different. Can you talk us through that there is science in the book and there's actually maths in the book? And that's one of the things that I loved about the book was it was something that I'd not seen before, and it was something that I'd not seen in a book before. So rather than you do the, and again, people know what I'm talking about, rather than you doing the same old, Here's a pretty picture of me.
Yeah, no pictures. You know. No pictures. I made sure there was no pictures. Sure, people are like, Paul, is it going to be a pop-up book? Because they know me. they know me mentally. I was like, there's going to be no pictures of pop-up books in it. But
people want to take the fitness seriously. That you know, yes. And they want to. What I felt from this book is, and I'll ask you this question in a bit. But for people that want to take it to the next level, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, massively. Even for me, when I was writing the book, like I've done like quite a bit of study before this. Like, and even when I stopped playing football, I started going into doing strength and conditioning courses and stuff like that. So I love fitness. But when I was writing the book, I was thinking to myself, like, it'd be lovely to like...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Teach people about their cardiovascular system, do you know what I mean? Or the EPOC system, why after they sprint, they need like some time to get like, you know what I mean? So I could get the EPOC curve, so they know why they're panting. And the thing is, when you start knowing why you're panting, then you'd probably be like, okay, so if I keep on doing these sprints, that's going to get less. So then let's say it takes you 11 seconds to get your breath back after you do a 5-second sprint. And you know, it's you know the curves because you've read it in the book. And then next day it takes you 3 seconds. You know you're getting fitter. For me, when I wrote the book or whatever, I started doing cardio. Like, I haven't done cardio since playing rugby 3 years ago. But I was like, Jesus, I don't actually touch my cardio. So now I'm doing cardio a bit just to make sure I'm checking my like, here we go. Here's my heart rate. Here's my heart rate thing, yeah, to check my oxygen levels and stuff like that. It's weird, but it's kind of getting people to actually know what's going on in their body, because the body is an amazing thing. But I feel like people just take it for granted, if that makes sense.
So by putting in the science and the maths, yeah, was it a case of giving people the tools, yes, to work, yeah, out why we do these things, yes, rather than just looking at the same old pictures?
Yeah, massively. So what all the science and the maths and stuff like that is basically, so if you go, let's say with the maths, the little math, like powerlifting will break people's heads. It's like algebra anyway, right? Because that's if you want to be as strong as you can, because you need to know when you need to give yourself CNS rest and undulated periodization and stuff. But other than that, the other maths in it and stuff like that is basically for people to know when they go to the gym what to do and how to get stronger, if that makes sense. With the science in it, it's basically, I just kind of wanted people to be able to know themselves, if that makes sense. It's not like, just people will do 15 burpees but not know why they're doing 15 burpees and stuff like that. And I think with the goal for me with this book is, so after you do 15 burpees, you know why you did it. If your body weren't mobile enough while you were doing the burpees, you might have been upright. And or when you do a squat, if you're leaning forward, why you're leaning forward, it's ankle mobility that's making you lean forward, which is going to give you a bad posture. Do you know, stuff like that, just so people can click on. Because sometimes I go into a gym and I'm watching somebody squat and I'm watching a personal trainer help somebody squat, but they're not doing the right things. He's not looking at his ankles. He's not looking at his hips. Do you know what I mean? He's like, oh, just let's just put plates. Do you know what I mean? And it's, yeah, like, no, you've got to break it down. You've got to open up. You know what I mean? And that shit hurts me. It hurts me. Just watching that shit hurts me. And yeah, so it's kind of just trying to get people to know a bit more about themselves when it comes to fitness, because fitness is great if you can just tap into it.
So you're, two of my favourite words, energy and enthusiasm. And I know from chatting with you and from the book that you genuinely care passionately about helping people. Whereas, again, we all know who I'm talking about. Some people are doing this for the money or for the followers, for the fame, etc. Whereas you are different, aren't you?
Yeah, I do. Like, to be honest, I have a page where, like, I post like knee lifting heavy stuff, and I get deals out. Like, I get quite a few offers to do the old home workouts, and do you know what I mean? And I turned them all down. Like, I've lost sponsorships because I've stopped doing, because I think it's shit. Do you know what I mean? But yeah. What it is is a lot of people out there, just, it's kind of their livings or how they're gonna, do you know what I mean, thrive in this situation. For me, I'd rather teach you one time. I always feel like if mentally you're strong enough and you don't need somebody to hold your hand, it's like, even when I was personal training clients, after like 5 or 6 sessions, I'd be like, what else do you need me for other than holding your hand? Do you know what I mean? There's no point. And even programs that I sold over the years, I give all the knowledge in the program so you can take that and go away. In this book, it's kind of the same as my programs, where I'm trying to give you everything. So then, if you are getting a personal trainer, maybe for one session, do you know what I mean? If you need, and you'd be, or you get a personal trainer and you'd be able to go, he's a shit personal trainer, because you've read this and you know that he hasn't checked your nutrition. I know some personal trainers that don't even give people nutritional advice after it, and that's 70% of the goal, do you know what I mean? So it's kind of just getting rid of the shit, if that makes sense, and getting on your own.
Now, pardon my language here, but it feels like you've delivered the ultimate fitness goal setting strength book. Have you fucked your chance of a sequel?
Yeah. It's not. So that's the thing. I think people are always asking that. Like, I don't. The thing about me is I don't need one. You know, I don't want one. I'll do something else. If there's a book about how to wear wigs, being a big black fella that wears wigs, I'll do that. No bother, do you know what I mean? So, don't worry. I think the one thing that I've learned in life is money comes and goes, and something else will come up. Do you know what I mean? I don't need another book. I'm proud of that, and I'd rather put everything into something to make it, to make people go out and do it, and give them drips and drabs, if that makes sense.
Now this question I ask on behalf of myself, but also on behalf of, I imagine, a lot of listeners. So with my own fitness, down the years, I know for a fact I've just pretty much stayed at the same level. Yep. So I probably look like, so we've got an exercise bike. We've had it a while. I use it 4 times a week. Right. But what I'm not able to do is take it to the next level.
Next level.
So what should I be doing to take things to that next level?
How's your sleep? I know now that the one thing that you've after saying, you have your two kids, but your two kids are both schooling, so it's not like you're up all night with them, is it?
So no, I'll be honest with you. I'm turning this into a therapy session now. Regular listeners will know that we've had troubles with the eldest one on her sleep, but we got one of these night experts.
Yeah.
Absolutely changed the game. And so both girls more or less sleep all the way through. So sleep right now is genuinely good.
Mate, waking, so that's it. Now this is the one, it's a bit of an annoying one, but if you wake up an hour early and then if you're at home, you have no weights and stuff like that, it's just about getting the core foundation body weight stuff done. So I know, like, my mate Bradley Simmons, he is my pal, he's in the book as well. There's certain people that actually all they do is body weight. So for you to just get up there and get a little power through before everyone else wakes up, do you know what I mean? That'll set you on your way and being a bit more prolific, if that, you know what I mean, a bit more about yourself. So, yeah.
I know exactly what you mean. So at the moment, typically it'll be 3:30, 40 minutes on the bike, and then
half three.
In the afternoon.
Oh, right. I thought you were saying you were going to get up at 3:30 in the morning. I was like, what the fuck?
I said it in such a cool way as well. I'm going to put 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah. You mad bastard. Anyway, right, yeah, so 3:30, yeah, you're on the bike. How long do you do on the bike?
40 minutes.
40 minutes. Do you ever do any intervals, any pushes, like 10-second sprints on the bike, or is it just a 40-minute steady space?
Yeah, so I'll be honest with you. I use a certain app. Begins with a P. They don't need me to advertise for
Peloton.
Them. Yeah,
yeah, beautiful. And yeah, so they do a lot of
practice. So their instructors are. There's a guy called Cody Rigsby. I think he's brilliant, and it's. But I'm aware that I'm doing this. I'm doing the same shtick week after week.
So I'm not. This is not me trying to sponsor my friend, but right now, in home workouts. Like for a lad like yourself, Bradley Simmons, just do one of his workouts.
I'm writing this down.
I'm telling you now. I'm not a home workout man myself. I would never, do you know what I mean? But if you are stuck at home, you have no gear, just do Bradley Simmons workouts. He does them daily. You'll be up at 7:30 in the morning doing them with him. Like, I'm not going to lie, I've done one in the last lockdown. I've done one with him with weights and I nearly died. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So if you could get through doing it, if you do a full week with him and then you can come back here and say that that's in the morning and then you do your Peloton in the evening. Do you know what I mean? That's you upping your levels.
That's good.
You just have to up it a little bit.
Now, if I'm going to go full QVC mode on the book.
Go for it.
Would you say this book is for literally anyone and everyone, or is there a certain market you're targeting with it?
Yeah, no, I wanted it for everyone, to be honest. I think when they were doing it, they were like, who's your target? And I was like, I don't have a target. It's fitness, do you know what I mean? And fitness is meant to be for everyone. So I think because you have your publishers and all, and they'll always push you in a way or stuff like that. But no, I honestly believe fitness is for everyone. And I've seen, like grannies, do you know what I mean, coming in at 70 years of age still, and then I go into the gym, I'm in the same gym now 6 years, so I've seen like grannies that have been in there the same gym as me 2 years, so much better than they were when they came, do you know what I mean? And it's beautiful to see. So they're in, I see little 16-year-old kids that shouldn't be in the gym come into the gym. In 4 years, they're big, muscly lads. You know what I mean? Probably don't do no fitness. Not muscly, like big muscly, but yeah. You can see they're solid and they're more confident. First time they came into the gym, they're all stuttering and shit. Now they're like in there. They're a part of it. It's like a commune. So they're in there. It's for everyone. Do you know what I mean? It's not like you see people just going to classes, like sedentary people that like probably, you know, aren't good at talking to people, but they go into a class, they leave the class, they might not tell them, but they're a part of something. Do you know what I mean? With me, as I said, I had more clubs than Nick Faldo. I've been to 40 teams. They're all my mates now. Like yeah. I go into a team and I'm loud. Do you know what I mean? So already I make mates with, but it's such an easy way. I came from Ireland, not knowing anyone here. How I did it was playing football. I wasn't even the best on the team. It's not like I was winning them all games, you know, but it was easy for me to like, so it's not like Ronaldo. Okay. Everyone's going to love him because he's great. I was coming to teams and I was, you know what I mean? Just myself. And what it is it just brings unity. Do you know what I mean? So that's sport. Like I fucking love fitness because it kind of brings everyone together. So again, I know I've just went off on a tangent there, but this book is for everyone. Do you know what I mean? Because it should be for everyone. That's my opinion.
And then also, you know, given it's January, but also on top of that, given we're back in lockdown, there's no getting away from it. From a mental health point of view, this book is timely as well, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the I feel like if you do need a bit of a get up and go to even just go out, go for a run, go for a walk even. I think I have something in there about walking. I don't do much walking, but I know the benefits of it, you know what I mean? Just to clear your head and stuff like that. It's all in there, so yeah.
In terms of nutrition, quite a few of us quite a few people are trying, if not Veganuary, that they're maybe watching the meat that they eat. My wife and I mean, wife's actually gone vegetarian. I probably eat less meat. Is that anything that you've ever tried? I know that in the book you describe yourself as a meathead.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, meathead. That's the one. Yeah, I am. Right now I do one day. Because of David Attenborough, I watched that Bleeding Life on Our Planet. Jesus Christ, he hurt me, he did. But one meal, it's not like, I'm not going to pretend like I'm off it totally, but I will do like one meal a month where I have no meat. It's not like I put in a vegan substitute, but maybe some meals I'll just get the carb, I'll just carbo load. I won't eat as much meat as I can, but then there is one meal a month where I'm trying to go a bit, see what it tastes like. And anyway, eat a honest burger or something, I think it's called. Yeah. So yeah. Just to give it a go and see how it goes. Cause for me, like I'm a carnivore or whatever you call it, but yeah, you have to, when you know shit's, the world's coming, like it's not doing too well for the world, and when you see what like each cow does and stuff like that, it's just a bit like whoa. So if I can stop a little bit of a footprint myself by just not having one day of meat a week, then yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Tell you what, if you ever want anything to watch on lockdown, there's a documentary called Cowspiracy, and if you've not seen it, I went into it thinking it'd be one of these documentaries that shows how harshly animals are treated. It's not that. I was expecting something over there, and it was something over there, but
how much the cows are used and stuff for.
I won't spoil it. The title gives away more than you will realise. And then when you're watching it, you'll go, "Ah, okay." But it's on Netflix. Cowspiracy, about an hour and a half. Really good.
Okay. I'm doing it.
Paul. One last question that I always forget to ask. It's the name of the podcast, and the amount of times I've forgotten to ask this question is inexcusable. What do you do for balance, Paul?
What do I do for balance? So I wake up every day and I think of a stupid video that I can... Well, I have a list of stupid videos that I can create because that's my happiness. So then I look on my board, I pick one that I'm going to create for the day. I get somebody to film it. I edit it. I post it. I have my lunch, my dinner. If I'm on daughter duty, I pick up my daughters on... And then do a form of exercise, edit again for YouTube now. That's me. Watch one program. I give myself one program before I go to bed. So right now I've done everything. So I'm on Vikings, the final season. So I do one episode before I go to bed every night. So,
yeah, is it good?
Yeah, you know what? It's okay. It's not top tier, but it's good watching. Do you know what I'm trying to say? The first two seasons are great, and then it kind of dwindles out a bit, and then the last season is picking up a bit. And I think I've put so much effort into it that I have to finish it now.
But my YouTube algorithm is trying to, the reason why my eyes lit up then is because my YouTube algorithm is clearly trying to get me to watch Vikings.
Mate, you know what? There's great characters and there's some scenes. It's a 7.5 to 8. Do you know what I mean?
What you mean.
Yeah, yeah. Have you watched The Wire before?
Yes.
The Wire is a 9. You know, The Wire, the Game of Thrones, you know what I mean? There's that top tier and then...
Breaking Bad.
Yeah, Breaking Bad, Sopranos, you know what I mean? and it's coming down a little bit. And then there's The Walking Dead. And then underneath that, kind of the Vikings. That's it. That's the best way I can put it.
There's a show on Netflix called Titans, which is like it's like lesser DC superheroes, and I enjoy it, but I put that at a 6.
Right. Yeah, this is all. Have you watched The Boys?
Yeah,
that's very good. I was shocked. I enjoyed that. The superheroes. I thought, okay, very good.
I've got a confession. I interviewed one of the guys from The Boys, and so they got one of the artists to draw me as a supervillain.
Oh, that is that is unreal.
My eldest daughter loved how that they got the belly just right.
Oh shit! I see you have the Batmans and all. Are you proper into your DC? Are you?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. How about yourself?
Well, I'm more of a Marvel man myself, but you know what I mean? DC's all right.
Well, tell you what, before we go then, which Marvel would you recommend I read, and I'll recommend a DC for you?
I'm a Hulk man all day long, so it's always been the Hulk for me. But...
Mate, Planet Hulk is one of the greatest comics I've ever read in my life.
I love that, mate.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that. So go on, DC.
Who's so I would say there's a number one. Well, there's a writer-artist combo called Snyder and Capullo. I'll email Harriet, right? Mm. And these guys had a run on Batman. And the Snyder and Capullo run on Batman is widely regarded as the greatest run in Batman history. So, you know, it's recently, and they still do stuff now. But if I was going to pick one,
Superman has to be, doesn't it? In between the...
Yeah, I mean, I'm more of a Batman guy. I think because he's got no superpowers. I think that's why I like, okay, you know, because technically, you know, you can kill him. You should be able to kill him quite easily. But the fact that he's
still
be
dead, he should be dead. He should
be very dead by now. But there's one called Death of the Family, which is almost a reimagining of an old Batman comic called Death in the Family, where Robin dies. This was from like the 1980s, I think. And so that there's a modern day twist on that that is fantastic. I'll put it in an email to Harriet though. Absolutely brilliant.
I love that, man. Love that.
I tell you what, I feel like we've been friends for about 20 years.
Good. It started off beautifully as well. killing your children and getting a green glass of Nigeria for fucking.
I knew we were going to be all right because our very first opening was you giving me a deserved verbal jab to the jaw, and we were away. Oosh! All right, Paul, I deserve that. All right, Paul.
Pleasure.
Bless you, mate. Take care.
Thanks very much for having us, man. Have a good
Thank
day.
Thank you. That was great.
Take care, bro.
Cheers, Paul. Once again, huge and heartfelt thanks to Paul. What an absolute ray of sunshine! And talk about. Talk about honest as the day is long. What a great guy. I absolutely love that chat. As soon as the chat finished, I immediately emailed the person who set it up just to say, wow, what a guy. If you don't follow Paul on the socials, you should do. He's a breath of fresh air. We've hyperlinked Paul on this episode of the podcast. We've also hyperlinked how you can buy his book. It's out now. Paul Olimer. If you're searching for it, it's Olima. I've gone full QVC. I'm never afraid to do that, as you well know. It's a barnstorming book. And as he says in the chat, he laughed while he was saying it. He was like, no pictures. He just wanted this to be a pure book about fit and getting you fit. And if you are fit, then getting you fitter. Yeah, what a tremendous chap. We'll see you, as always, next Monday. Oh, if you've enjoyed it, do us a huge favour. Please share. We are at BalanceLDN. I'm at James Gill Comedy. Thank you all. As always, take care. Goodbye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.